Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's almost Easter, and it's time to be thinking about chocolate Easter eggs.
Yeah, time to be.
So I'm ready. I want to get ready for this.
You're ready? My word. In my world, you're like 6 months behind. I've been thinking about Easter eggs for months.
Well, I'm thinking about the Cadbury chocolates, you know.
Oh,
I'm thinking about all those. And, you know, the Easter Bunny is coming.
Oh, good.
He'll be at my house. He'll be hunting eggs and hiding eggs and putting on a little show.
Yay. That sounds like huge fun. I know that was always a big thing in past years. And so I was curious if they were coming.
It always has been. And I, you know, made an appointment with the bunny and asked him if he could come. He said he could. Be glad to. And he's taking time out to come to my house.
Neat. That's pretty cool that you have those kinds of connections.
It is cool. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, we never got to see the Easter Bunny.
Oh.
You know, he was always out of sight. We got the eggs, but the bunny never stayed around.
Yeah, you never actually saw him. He was this mysterious figure like that you never actually got to see, so you had to guess what he looked like. But now to have him like
that's
out
right.
in the open and playing and hunting eggs and all that, that's pretty cool.
And we know he has long ears and a long fluffy tail.
Yeah, and I'm sure he's very tall.
He is very tall, very big.
Really? See, I've always pictured it was hard to tell because I can never tell in like pictures or drawings that people would make of what they thought the Easter Bunny looked like. But I always imagined him being very tall with ears that went straight up.
That's pretty true.
Oh wow!
And you know, he's white with pink inside his ears.
Oh,
a little bit of pink on his tail.
Neat.
Yeah. Easter Bunny's quite a guy. quite a bunny.
Yeah.
And, you know, one year, Mrs. Bunny came with him.
Really? I didn't know there was
a
Mrs.
And she
Bunny.
She was adorable. Mrs. Easter Bunny is so cute.
What?
she had on this, we would call him a pinafore dress with a little apron on it, the whole deal.
Oh, wow. That does sound neat.
She was very neat, and she danced around. Played with the kids, did all kinds of things.
Wow. See, I didn't, in all the years I was growing up, I didn't even know there was a Mrs. Easter Bunny.
Oh, yes. There is a Mrs. Easter Bunny. And she has cute little glasses, you know, little horn-rimmed glasses that she wears.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. That
yeah.
sounds amazing. That's even better
well,
than what I imagined.
Didn't you know that Easter Bunny would have to have a mate?
Well, I didn't even think. All I thought about was the Easter Bunny and chocolate. That's as far as I went.
Yeah, you were thinking about the chocolate mostly.
Yeah.
What you were thinking about.
Yeah, I never gave the family dynamic any thought.
There you go. Well, that's the way it goes.
Wow. Neat. Well, then that'll be fun. That'll be great fun.
And, of course, you know, it's one of these deals where, you know, the little children are all dressed, you know, they'll have their suits on, they'll have their little ties on, you know, all the way.
Yeah, everybody will be all properly dressed up and ready to go.
That's right, and we'll be making pictures. And you know what everybody always says? Do not wear the same thing you wore last year.
I think a couple of years ago, didn't you do that and somebody called you out on it?
Or, they did call me out.
I thought so.
Look, you've got the same dress you had last year. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, if you like something, you think, oh, I would like to wear that.
Sure.
You don't think about, oh, I did that last year.
Yeah. You just pull it out. I mean, gosh, I can't remember what I wore yesterday, let alone last Easter. Golly.
Yeah.
You have to pull out pictures just to remember.
You have to pull out the pictures and say, okay, I wore this. I can't wear that. I've got to put something different on.
Yeah.
Especially when you have the pictures taken with the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to have on the same dress.
No, you don't. Because then you can't tell, you can't tell, you know, year to year, but then somebody will call you out as you find out the hard way.
That's exactly right. And then when the pictures come back, and you look at them, you know, you don't want to see the same thing on people.
No. You want to see some variety.
That's right. But every year we've had pictures with the Easter Bunny. So as the kids are growing up, you know, you can see the different years and how much taller they're getting.
Oh, wow.
You know, so all that's real interesting in life.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, people didn't even take pictures of the Easter Bunny themselves.
Mm-mm.
Or Easter, you know.
Yeah.
Things are progressing.
Yeah. In a good way. That sounds like a lot of fun. That sounds like really great.
I think it will be. And then we're going to go to some great restaurant, you know.
Yeah, I know that the Easter.
We're not cooking.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that because the Easter meal has always been a thing. And so sometimes I know it's been the club. Sometimes it's been, you know, cooking. And so I wasn't sure what was going to happen this year.
And I said, I refuse to cook. That was the whole deal. I'm not washing one dish, folks. Not one, nada.
Nothing. Your hands will not touch dishwater this year at all.
It's not going to. I'm not going to spend all that time cooking, washing dishes. You know, and a lot of stuff has to, you know, your china has to be hand washed.
Yes.
You know, and the crystal glasses has to be hand done. So it takes a long time to do that.
It's almost like a junior version of Thanksgiving. Or it can be if it gets out of control.
It does get out of control. And then have you ever noticed people say, goodbye, it sure was nice, we have to go home now.
Yeah, right before cleanup time?
Just before cleanup.
Yeah. Funny how that timing always works out for them. I don't understand.
I've always wondered about that.
Yeah.
You know, they're sitting there and all of a sudden they see me go to the kitchen to do dishes and they just disappear. Just disappear.
Wow. Some people have a knack for just picking up on, oh, okay, the party's winding down. It's cleanup time. We got to go. Kids got to get up early tomorrow and we got stuff to do.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of excuses.
Oh, yeah. They can think of everything in the book. Wow.
Yep.
Well, that sounds like it's going to be great fun then. I bet this, when you go back and look at all the pictures from past Easters, I bet this is one of those special things that you see how the kids grow up and you see, you know, all the changes in everybody. And I bet it's one of those neat things to reflect on, too.
I think it is. It's a tradition at our house.
Yeah.
You have to have pictures with the Easter Bunny.
Yeah. That'll be fun then. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Let's talk about money for a second.
Let's talk about money. That's my favorite subject anyway.
It is. Second after Easter Bunny and chocolate and food.
That's right, after food.
So how are we this week? What are some of the big highlights? What's the newest?
Well, we're putting people in policies. I'm trying to stretch them out. These are short term, you know, 36 months, 18 months. But we're doing two policies right now. As I said, I'm trying to stretch them out. This one is $1 million, and the other one is $750,000.
Oh, wow.
So we're trying to stretch them out and get a lot of people in them. We've got bids out on another six policies.
Oh,
so
my.
Things are looking up. And of course, we've had three maturities. You know, the maturities are coming in pretty good. Two of them were, I think they were just about on time, and one was early.
Oh, wow. That's, you know, I know that it's been a thing for the last several weeks or maybe months or so, policy availability. So it sounds like things have really started to kind of turn around a little bit.
Yes. Here they waited till April to start saying they want to sell their policies and all this. And then we've had several that came to market, wasn't sure, couldn't make a decision. So that was a problem also.
Mm.
But now it looks like they're serious again and wanting to sell their policies. And we're looking at some really good policies. we looked at some that weren't very good in March, and therefore we didn't even get them. And then there was some good ones that we didn't get also. Mm. But things are turning around now. I think we're going to have several really good policies this week.
Good. That'll be, I mean, I'm sure that's welcome news to you know, people all over the
place. A lot of people, yes. Yeah. A lot of people wanting to get their money invested.
Yeah, and especially with the, when you've got a big policy and you're able to stretch it out and get as many people in there as possible. That's good
right.
news. A lot of people benefit from that. So then that's great. How are annuities? Are we still, do we still have bonuses? Are we still?
We still have the bonuses. We're lucky. Luckier than most because we've still got that 14% bonus that you get every year for 3 years when you put money in, which is really a great thing. And then so far, the annuities are holding up. The fixed rate has went down some, but, it's holding. And, of course, the stock market, as you know, is just pancaking up and down.
Yes.
It's going to give people whiplash.
But, yeah.
At least we don't have that going on. People are not losing money. And it locks in at the end of every year, whatever your profit is. And that's really a blessing. And, people's contracts are coming due. I'm looking at some pretty good profit for the year. And we'll see what happens. But one thing about an annuity. Your principal is always safe. That principal, you're not going to lose your principal. And with stock market and all these other investments right now, a lot of people are losing.
Yeah.
There's not any doubt about it. And if they had invested any of their money in any of these public restaurants that are going broke, they've lost the money. I mean, that's for good. It isn't coming back because most of them have declared bankruptcy. So, that means that it's taken off the big board. They're not traded anymore because they are bankrupt. And there's several big companies that have went bankrupt. And if you've got stock in those companies, you just lost.
Yeah. And, it's lost, so, and it's permanent. I mean, you don't...
It's permanent. And so a lot of people, I don't know who they've got their stocks with. But, boy, I'd be looking at that and saying, okay, what are they, and the heck do they have me in?
Yeah. Yeah,
and if it's a lot of these public restaurants, I'd be out of there in a flash.
Yeah, I mean,
they're going broke so quick.
It's amazing how many are because it's like it seems like almost every day, or at least every other day, I'm seeing something in my feed about how another restaurant chain has filed for bankruptcy, or another major retailer has filed for Chapter 11, or whatever it is. It just seems like these big entities are just they're starting to fold, and it seems more common than not these days.
Well, I think the whole problem was as they went public, and when you go public, then you've got a big conglomerate owning it.
Mm.
It's not a mom and pop deal anymore. The expenses are going to triple. You've got the management, and then you've got management on top of that. And they're making all the profit even when the company is dying on the vine.
Yeah.
So, it's not a great deal. If I was in the stock market, which I'm not, I would never be in all these restaurants and all these things.
I mean,
restaurants are volatile anyway, and then you put them in a public company where you've got the overhead doubled and tripled, you can't make a profit.
Yeah, and it seems like a lot of times when you do go public and you've got these conglomerates, then all of a sudden you've got these CEOs and higher-ups that have not only gigantic salaries, but then they've got, all the perks, and then they've got all the bonuses that are guaranteed, which is just a fancy way of saying your salary is this, but we're actually going to pay you this because we're going to get a $3 million or $9 million bonus or whatever it is, and then they've got to meet that goal, and then you have to hit that number at all cost. And so when you're playing to Wall Street and investors, the game becomes a little bit different. So it's scary.
And the other day I saw this one restaurant paid this guy $28 million bonus, And then they declared bankruptcy in 30 days.
Oh, wow.
They made sure he got his bonus.
Yeah.
They got that bonus out.
Yes.
And it's, you know, I, as you know, I'm not fond of the stock market. It's just too volatile to even talk about.
I couldn't tell.
You couldn't tell how against I am of that. But, you know, one thing about our business, every investment is in a life insurance policy. It makes it so much safer to be in a life insurance policy rather than in the market, in real estate, in anything that's got a lot of risk. So we've tried to take all the risk out if possible. And over the years, we've gotten better at it and better. The first ones we bought, we weren't sophisticated back then as to how that was going to work. And now, you know, we check it every way in the world when we make the investment. We're reading the lab reports, the doctor reports, everything. And then we're putting it with large companies, you know, 100-year-old companies, $60 billion companies, $100 billion companies.
Jeez.
So your investment is always A-rated.
Yeah, that is solid. That is, I mean, that's...
It's very solid.
Wow.
And so then your only risk is when is it going to come due? You know, is it going to come in on time? Is it going to be early or is it going to be late?
Yeah. I mean, that's
and
really it.
If you have
it.
Several policies, it'll average out. It always averages out. And the people that have been with us a long time have made a lot of money. They've paid a lot of taxes.
Hmm. You know, it seems like it's one of those things that maybe seems it's almost like people may feel like it's complicated, but on the other hand, it's very, very simple because you're just buying into a life insurance policy. When the policy matures, you get paid, and it doesn't discount based on, you know, any, you know, external factors. The reserves are on hand. It's very, very straightforward. It's not like, oh my gosh, you know, we'll invest in this policy and then if the market crashes first thing Monday morning, we're out everything. It's so counterintuitive because I think a lot of people think investing and they think, oh, there's a lot of risk. And, you know, if the market goes down, then I've lost, you know, everything I've got. But with a life settlement, you've got, I mean, it's just solid. It's just a matter of waiting, and you don't even have to wait out the storm. You're not waiting for the market conditions to change. You're just waiting for the policy to mature, and that's it.
And the nice thing about, you know, when we buy these policies, we're looking at their age. We're looking at how bad the cancer is, how long they've had the cancer, what kind of treatment they're taking. We're looking at all the factors before we decide to even bid on it. And we're not going to bid on it unless we think it's a good policy. You know, the policy that we did the other day, you know, a lot of people hesitated on it. And, you know, pancreatic cancer is the best of the best. But these were new people coming in, and they were hesitating. And I sent them a note, and I said, pancreatic cancer usually always comes in early. We've never had a pancreatic cancer one go over. Mm. And usually everybody says, do you have a pancreatic cancer one that we can get in? And we've found that they are the best one, but you can't get them. I mean, maybe once a year, once every 2 years that we get a pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, they're rare.
Yeah, and so we've learned, you know, which cancers are doing the best. We had this esophagus cancer, and it's already matured. And we just did it in 24.
Oh, wow.
And it's already matured. Esophagus cancer is very hard to deal with. So, you know, we take all that in account. And then we take in account how much can the client make? What can they make on this? How much profit can we get them? So we work that out to get as much profit as we can. Then we look at the premium. How high is the premium? Is the premium low, like 1%, 2%, you know? And every once in a while, we'll do one that's higher, but then we'll escrow for 2 extra years.
Mm.
You know, we'll instead of maybe 2 years, we may escrow for 4 just to be sure that we're covered. So we're trying to take every risk out.
Yeah, so there's no surprises.
And we don't want any surprises. We don't want to find out something, you know, later, 2 years down the road. We want it to work out as, like, if Lapidus says it's 24 months, we expect that thing to come in fairly close to that 24 months. And, of course, Lapidus is the best. We don't always get a Lapidus, but we usually always ask for a Lapidus or a Polaris. Both of them are very good.
Yeah, very accurate, and it seems like the data itself has gotten better over time as well.
The data has gotten better. They're doing a more thorough exam of them. They're giving us all the lab reports, the surgical reports, the blood tests, everything they've done. They're telling us what the BMI is. How fat are they? You know.
Wow. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, and if they're obese, they tell us. Obese people never survive. It's just something about it. I mean, I don't think the drugs can get to everything. That's always my theory.
Mm.
You know, if you're that obese, how's the drugs going to work?
That's true.
You know?
Hmm.
So we're considering all that.
Yeah.
And when we consider all these things, then we put a bid in. If we get it, then we immediately send out to certain people an invitation to go into that policy. And then we give them everything I have on it. You know, we tell them what the face amount is, what kind of cancer it is, who they are, what their age is, how long they've had the cancer, and how long they expect them to live. So they know all this going in. Then they can make an intelligent decision.
Did you say that the new policy the other week, there was a lot of new people in it?
Yes.
I bet.
People that had not been doing it.
Yeah. I mean, to come in, I guess, on life settlements on something like that would probably be, that would be a really good entry point, I would think.
Right. Well, we had several people that brought 300,000, 500,000. Let's see, I think I had two people bring 300,000. One brought half a million, and one brought 280,000.
Wow.
So all these new people had to have policies to go into.
Yeah. Golly.
And new people don't always understand if they don't get a new policy right away. You know, like everybody else knows that sometimes it takes, you know, a month even.
Yeah.
But they were anxious, so we were anxious to get them in some policies.
Wow. What are some of the things, so when somebody new comes on board and they're, you know, getting in life settlements for the first time, what's some of the things that maybe they, like their biggest question or?
Is how does it work? That's the first question. How does this work when I put up my money? And so then we explain to them that they can write a check or transfer cash, and it goes to Nevada Trust. Nevada Trust acts as the owner and the trustee of every policy. And some people get that wrong. We pay the premium. The premiums are paid to us or to Nevada Trust if you owe a premium. And sometimes people do. And then they get confused. So we always tell them the trustee and the owner of the policy is Nevada Trust.
Hmm.
The money goes in trust into your account, and then when the people die, the trust gets the check. We don't get the check. The trust gets the check, and then we send them an invoice and tell them whose account to put the cash in.
I'm sure probably when they understand that there's this level of I don't even know if security is the right word, but guidelines, regulations, I don't know, however you want to say it, but I'm sure when they realize that it's this tight, that they realize that, oh my gosh, this is a pretty, you know, fantastic thing. We're not just writing, you know, Joe Bob a check to kind of do whatever he wants to. This is really straightforward and highly regulated. I'm sure that's a really big...
It is highly regulated. And when somebody says, put me in this policy, they verify this. They verify everything. And if somebody says, I want to take money out of my account, they'll call you. Make sure it's you. They do everything in the world. And so far, it's worked all these years.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of anything where you have that level of personal verification. You know, so if anybody, you know, I know we're all worried about, oh my gosh, you know, somebody's going to, you know, hack in and transfer all my money and all my assets. And people worry about that all the time, and they should be. I mean, security is always a big deal. But to be able to know that there's an actual human being person, not an AI person, not just a random, you know, automatic something or other that goes out, it's an actual person that calls and verifies, you know, human to human, that this transaction is legit and this is what you want to do. I mean, that's so rare these days. It used to be commonplace at one point, but now it's so rare. It's really kind of stands out, I guess. I'm sure people love that.
Nobody talks to me. I can call any company in the world. They don't have real people anymore. They don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
They want to put a computer, and they would rather you just send an email or a text. That's all they want. But one thing about Nevada Trust, they are careful.
Yeah.
Years ago, when we first started with them, we could call up and say, we need a transfer from one account to the other. And they would actually do it. And then one day they said no more. It's got to be in writing to transfer money from one account to the other.
Oh, wow.
So we have to put it in writing also just to transfer from one account to the other.
Wow.
You can't just call them and say, make a transfer.
So
they
there's
will not do it.
Multiple levels of verification.
A lot of verification.
Wow.
And when people want to do anything, they need to put it in writing.
That is
That's
great.
The fastest way. And then James or whoever reads it will say, okay, I think I'll just call them back and verify.
Wow. That is really
cool. They
do cool.
verify everything.
That's great. Golly. Yeah, I wish everybody else, every other, you know, entities that we dealt with was that thorough. I mean, gosh, could you imagine? It's such a, just that by itself, it should be reassuring to people. So for policy, for anybody who's wondering where policies are coming from, you're not going and taking policies from people. They're putting them up for sale. And
they have cancer, they're sick, and they've got to make a decision. Do I need the money now, or am I going to need it later? And it's over $100,000 a month for a good cancer treatment.
Jeez.
That's all there is to it. It's $100,000 a month.
Wow.
Trying to keep you, you know, alive. So people will spend everything they've got, you know, to try to save themselves. And I don't blame them. I would too.
Yeah.
So that's the way it is. And then they come to market. They go to an insurance broker is what they do. And the broker says, I'll represent you, and here's my fee. And it's high, let me tell you.
Mm.
We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
So they take on the case, then they send it out maybe to five people, and we're usually one of them. And they'll say, would you care to bid on this policy? We've sent you the following. We've sent you a copy of the insurance policy. We've sent you the medical. We've sent you the life expectancy. And so that way we can make a decision whether we're going to bid it or not. So they're going to send us everything they have on that person for us to look at. So we have to read all of that and see what kind of situation it is, how sick they are.
And you don't bid on every policy that comes across. Just because it's up for bids doesn't mean that it's an appropriate...
A good policy,
yeah.
No. Lots of times we read it and we say, they're not that sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not sick. One guy was going to go back to work.
Yeah.
I go, if he's able to go back to work, that cancer's not spread very much.
Yeah. And then there's other people that are, you know, out. They just want to travel and take cruises and whatnot. And, you know, we see commercials for those all the time on TV.
That isn't our time.
That
you
isn't
know,
your
they
time.
They have to have cancer. It needs to be stage 3 or stage 4. If they're at the edge of stage 3, we might buy it. But we really like for it to be stage 4.
Yeah.
And we want it to have metastasized. We want to make sure that thing is spread.
Yeah. So you're looking for very specific things. And there's a lot of data. Sometimes, what, a couple hundred? I mean, what, 700? You've read policies before that are like 700 pages, right?
That's right. Sometimes, if they've had cancer for like 3 years, the paperwork is staggering. There may be 800, 900 pages.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that everybody, you know, like investors don't have to sit down and read all that paperwork, but...
No, we don't send them all that. We just send them a short version of actually what's wrong, when we think they're going to die, and, you know, how long they've had it, and that sort of thing.
For your...
And if they say they're going to Mexico for treatment,
oh,
I'm on that. I'm yeah. on that right away.
That's a big attention getter right there.
Oh, yeah. Because it will be spreading all the time there in Mexico.
Yeah.
And we've never had one that went to Mexico that survived.
Yeah.
That we've bought. There may be some that survived, but it wasn't any of ours.
Yeah. So for people who have been with you for a long time, most of them, I would assume, correct me if I'm wrong, but most of them say, you know, okay, this is great. You know, I read the thing that you send. I'm in. Some maybe the new investors probably particularly might have some questions. They don't understand something, or, you know, whatever the question might be. And if that's the case, they can always call you and you'll walk through, you know, whatever questions they have to answer anything for
them. Absolutely. And I have people call me every once in a while and ask me questions about their portfolio, about the life expectancy. Maybe they don't understand it. Maybe there's something else they need help with. But anyway, if they call me, I will always talk to them, always.
That's got to make people feel better, too. You know, it's just,
that's
you,
right.
You see the level of service all the way around. It's just, it's...
We have one client in California, and the other day he sent in a request. He wanted to know about a couple of his policies, and nobody responded right away. And he said, "Is Faye still alive?" So when I read that, I got on it. I think I better get on this right away.
It's like, it's been 20 minutes. I'm right here.
That's right. So I sent him an email, and he really appreciated it and thanked me for, you know, sending him the information he needed.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, next time, just email me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great that everybody has your contact information and can reach out and talk to an actual person, being you, who has done this for so long. And, you know, the investment inside and out, just because you've read so much, you've been up to date.
Well, I've done it so many times.
Yeah. Yeah. And as things change, you know, over the years, you stay on top of it. You're always, you know, getting new information, getting new data. Every once in a while, I know you'll talk about how you went back and you looked at this and you examined that and analyzed this. And, you know, it's not just a matter of, oh, we just, you know, put it on autopilot and yeah, we'll do this and yeah, we'll do that. You're always double checking and making sure that everything is staying current and advancing as technology and all these other things advance too. So it's not that you're just on autopilot, which is great. For investors who are maybe looking at how this might look on the big picture, because I know we've really kind of gotten into, you know, how the whole investment works and what to do and how it's set up and all that. But if somebody is kind of like looking, okay, long term, what does this look like on a larger scale? For your most successful investors, they're in a number of policies. It's not just pop
they
into
are
one.
In a number of policies.
Yeah. How many would you recommend an average person maybe being in at any given time? Or is there a number?
Well, I've got a lot of people that have got 10, 15. I've got some that have got 20 and 40.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they've been with us a long time. And, you know, I've got a lot of policies, had a lot of maturities, and they're still with us.
Yeah. And so the way that the policy or the way that the investment is set up is that the more policies you're in, you know, there's always something that's maturing and then you reinvest and then it matures and then you reinvest and there's this leapfrog effect that happens. And so the more diverse your portfolio, the more you'll make over time. And that's really what it's all about. It's not just get into one policy and then go off and, you know, ride into the sunset. It's really a multi-year thing. But, you know, people obviously have the freedom to do whatever they want. But just so that people know, the more policies, the more profit you'll make. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
It is going to be a quiz on the resurrection.
Oh, no. I should have known and I should have studied. I'm going to fail miserably.
I thought about this. I said, he is not going to be ready.
I will not be ready at all. Oh, boy.
Okay, let me start. Okay, as the soldiers were mocking Jesus before the crucifixion, what type of crown did they put on his head?
Thorns.
All right, you got the first one.
Yes.
Who carried the cross for Jesus on the way to Golgotha?
He did.
No, he didn't. I thought he did, too.
Really?
It was Simon from Cyrene.
Really?
And Simon was standing there, and they called him over and told him, they wanted him to carry the cross. So he did.
Oh, my. Huh.
Yeah, and I missed it, too. Where on Jesus' cross was the inscription posted that said, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews? Was it over his head, below his feet, or hanging around his neck?
Ooh, I'm going to say above his head.
Got it. Man, you're two for two.
Wow, look at
this. All right. All right. How many others were crucified along with Jesus?
Two others.
All right. Man, you're so good today. I'm shocked.
My goodness. This is going better than I thought.
Okay. Yeah, you're better than you thought. Okay, what was torn in two around the time when Jesus breathed his last? Was it his robe, his cross, the veil or curtain, or Pilate's robe?
His robe.
No, it was the veil.
Oh.
It was the veil. You missed your first one.
I did. I jinxed it.
Okay, after Jesus died, what did the soldiers do to him instead of breaking his legs? Okay, I'll give you a choice. They cut out his tongue, pierced his side, severed his arms, or cut off his head.
Pierced his side.
All right. After Jesus died, who asked Pilate for the body? Was it Simon Peter, Mary Magdalene, Simon of Cyrene, or Joseph of Arimathea?
Mary.
No, it was Joseph.
Oh!
On which day of the week did Mary Magdalene and the other Mary come to the tomb? Was it the first day of the week, after the Sabbath, on the Sabbath, on the day before the Sabbath, the fourth day of the week?
It was on Sunday.
It was on the first day after the Sabbath. Apparently, you couldn't do anything on the Sabbath.
Really? I didn't know that.
It was the day after the Sabbath that they came to the tomb. Hmm. Okay. When Mary and the others came to the tomb, where was the stone that had been in front of the tomb?
It was pushed to the side.
It was rolled away. You're right. When Jesus appeared to Mary outside the tomb, who did she think Jesus was? An angel, a soldier, a gardener, or a pilot?
Oh, my gosh. An angel.
No, she thought he was a gardener there.
Oh, geez.
And I messed that one myself. I was shocked.
Yeah, that was a total guess.
I didn't get it right.
Huh.
Well, you did pretty good.
I did better than I thought.
You did better than you thought. Okay, here's the next question. This is on the eggs. How many eggs will be purchased this year in the United States for Easter?
Well, this year, I don't know.
Yes.
I'm going to say 30. No, I'm going to say 15 million.
180 million eggs.
Wow. Wasn't even close.
Wasn't even close. Okay, one more question. How much will Americans spend on Easter this year?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to say $3 billion.
$5.3 billion.
Really? Oh,
is that
my
shocking
word.
Or not?
Wow.
$5.3 billion on Easter.
I feel like I may have spent half that myself just on the chocolate already.
Have you already eaten all the chocolate?
Of course.
That's the question.
Yeah, I did that like a month ago.
Oh, my gosh. I knew you were starting early. I knew that.
I couldn't help it.
Oh, my gosh.
My God, the East—it's the Reese's that get me, you know. Not just the little eggs and like the six pack, but then they've got this half of an Easter egg. It's in this gigantic package, and then there's another package inside of that. And then by the time you get the actual egg out, it's like half the size of the actual package. But it's still—it has the best chocolate and peanut butter ratio ever. It's amazing. It's the best thing that I've ever seen. It's awesome.
Well, and my favorite is those little chocolate eggs that are wrapped in the foil.
Oh.
I don't know why. I just love those.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you get the variety pack that has the different wrappers with the different kinds of flavors?
No, I like just the chocolate.
Just plain old chocolate. I just
stay with chocolate, man. If I can get chocolate, I'm living.
Well, I tell you what. Last year, I got it's a bag of Hershey's, and I think it's like a yellowish color, and I didn't realize that there was different kinds in there. I thought they're all just milk chocolate eggs, but there weren't. Opened it up and started getting into it, and then there was like different color wrappers on the different ones, and I thought, oh, this is just nuts for Easter. It's pretty and some variety. Well, then I started to realize that there's some white chocolate ones in there, and then there's some milk chocolate ones in there, and then there's some dark chocolate ones in there, and then I'm like, oh,
my
goodness.
Gosh.
I know it. It was an Easter surprise. It was too good.
So, and Easter only comes once a year.
I know.
Isn't that a tragedy?
It is, and that's why you got to start early.
Easter eggs? I mean, oh, gosh.
Easter only comes but once a year. You know, every time, I always think that Halloween has the best candy, but it's not. It's Easter.
Easter does.
Yes.
Because they put rich, rich chocolate, rich stuff in there. I mean, the different kinds of chocolate are to die for.
I mean, know it.
Oh, my gosh. Dark chocolate, light chocolate, caramel. I mean, they're in peanut butter.
Oh, yes.
Everything for every chocolate holiday.
My goodness. And I think part of the reason that gets me with Easter is because, you mean, the Halloween candy has all the, you know, the spooky and the ghosts and the pumpkins and all that neat stuff. But with the Easter candy, they wrap it in springtime colors that are so inviting and happy. I get sucked in every time, and I can't help it.
Oh, gosh.
My word. So, all right. Well, so when the Easter Bunny comes, I assume you're not hiding chocolate outside. It'll be like plastic eggs?
Well, it depends what the temperature is. But we have a lot of them, but we've stuffed them, some with money, some with fun things, you know, that they can do over and over. Because like you say, if you've got a chocolate in those, it'll start to melt if it gets very warm.
Yeah. Goodness. We did that one year. We didn't take the temperature into consideration and thought, ooh, it's kind of chilly this morning. This will be nice. Not taking into account the fact that it might be a few hours before anybody finds chocolate. By the time all the chocolate was, it was just a mess. It was all melted.
Oh, yeah. And there's nothing worse than little kids with all this chocolate on their hands clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a good sight.
It's everywhere. It's all their face. It's in their hair. It's everywhere. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, and sometimes we forget about, you know, the actual reason for Easter to begin with.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you know, the eggs were part of Christianity, too.
Were they really?
Way, way back. Oh, yes. They were a part of it. And a lot of people just think, oh, well, you know, we're just doing eggs. But if you go back and research that, the eggs were part of it, especially in Europe.
Really? Yeah, I'm sure we've talked about it in the past.
We
I just
did.
Can't
we,
remember.
We've done that story several times. You know the. I think Africa, 60,000 years ago, they found eggs.
Oh wow, I forgot that it was that far back. You know,
a long, long time, and it was part of the Christian heritage. The eggs were.
Yeah.
So everybody thinks, oh, well, it's not part of Christianity, but it was back then.
Hmm. There's sometimes there's such a disconnect, and I know we've talked in the past about, you know, how the eggs came about and how the Easter Bunny came about, and it's just like, you know, sometimes, you know, you get in the excitement of the holiday and you just kind of get wrapped up in it, and we sometimes forget what Easter is really all about. I remember.
That's exactly right.
There was one. I think there was actually a couple of years that we were living in. I think we were in some other place. I can't remember where. But we would drive home on Friday, on Good Friday, and it's so weird because each year that we saw this, it was cold and rainy and foggy, and we would get off the interstate and out in front of a church. They had put up three crosses in the yard, and they actually had people. There was like a platform like attached to them, and they actually had people standing there to represent you know, the crucifixion. It was very powerful to see, and it might have been just because, you know, it was, you know, rainy and foggy and cold and really kind of dreary, which really set the mood and the tone. But boy, to get off the interstate and to see that was very, very powerful. And it's like, oh, that's right. That's what this weekend is really all about.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, sunrise service,
yes,
is very powerful about the crucifixion and Christ rising also.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, they do a lot of plays about this, you know, about the thieves and about Christ. And, you know, everybody forgets that's what Easter's all about, is the resurrection.
Yeah.
And that's why they call it Resurrection Sunday, because that's when Christ arose. And another thing that I didn't remember is that there was many saints risen from the dead also, and they appeared in many cities. Do you remember that?
You know, I had forgotten about it until you just said that, and then I guess I had forgotten about that. Wow.
Yeah, and I was looking all this up to be sure I was right, and I saw that again, where all these saints, they arose also after Christ arose, and they appeared in many cities. And, of course, you know, when Christ appeared to all these, you know, they weren't sure it was him.
Yeah.
You know, and then he told them it was him, and then he preached in many cities after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the soldiers, if you remember, when Mary and them came to the tomb, they were scared and very afraid when they realized that Christ wasn't there.
Yeah. It wasn't, they weren't thinking, oh my gosh, he's risen. They were thinking, oh no, it wasn't good thoughts.
Yeah, how'd he get out of there? And they think they're in trouble, you know, because of this. And they were very afraid.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the angel was sitting there and told them, he's not here, he has risen.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, it's, you know, and I've seen pictures of the tomb, and it's sometimes I'll see pictures of it, and it's just like they'll have like some, like a video of maybe somebody, you know, walking in through the opening, and then they'll see where it is, and I'll just like sit there sometimes and I'll just like look at it, and just it's almost like trying to, you know, put myself in those times just to see where that actually happened is just, I don't know. It's moving. I'd love to see it in person. I'd be probably terrified to do it, but, it would be something, you know, to see in person. I'm sure that pictures don't do it justice, just to get that, you know, just to immerse yourself into it. So it's really, it's a great, It's a great celebration that happens all around the world, which is what's fascinating.
That's exactly right. Christians around the world, it doesn't matter where you are, will be celebrating, the resurrection of Christ. Because it's the biggest deal that ever happened.
Yeah, the greatest celebration on earth, really.
On earth, in our lifetime, that we're here.
Yeah.
You know, and can celebrate this.
Yeah, it's when you take in the scope of the entire week, you know, Holy Week is one of those things that is like, you know, you start to see things on Palm Sunday, and it's like all the, you know, the palms and the celebration of him coming back into town, and then, you know, all the things that had happened, and, you know, the day-to-day counts of on Monday this happened, and then Tuesday this happened, and then Wednesday was the Last Supper, and then Thursday, you know, he was arrested, and then Friday he was, you know, crucified. And then, you know, Saturday was, you know, dark. And then Sunday, it's like this big, huge celebration. It's just to have lived during that time, I would think, would probably be one of the biggest periods in history to ever be on Earth. And so it is worth celebrating. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
But I also do like the chocolate, so, so that's an extra bonus. okay, so with a life settlement, we were talking about how conservative it is and how it's a wonderful investment for people who are maybe tired of the stock market and the uncertainty, maybe looking at buckling down a little bit. What are the risks involved? I mean, obviously, there's no effect on the stock market or any other global conditions. So what does
okay, first of all, the biggest risk would be if it goes over, if you had to pay premiums, so that would affect your results. The other thing is it is not liquid until it matures. You have to always remember that. I think people do remember that. So that's really the two risks, and you must be accredited to do this. So you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house.
Okay.
And that includes a lot of things. Your 401k, your IRA, whatever you have invested, your horses and cattle, you know, whatever your real assets are.
Yeah, and some people, it is worth noting that some people, when they're thinking about doing a life settlement, they just kind of run some numbers off the top of their head, and they think, oh, gosh, I'm not accredited. There's no way I can even do this. But you've had several people that have actually thought that, gone back, looked up old 401ks, you know, pulled up old assets and things that maybe they had forgotten about, actually put the numbers on paper and looked at it, and they not only were accredited, but they were well over accredited. So if people are, you know, maybe discouraged and thinking, gosh, I can't do this, it is worth sometimes going back and taking a look to just to make sure. With annuities, are there doesn't seem to be any major risks with annuities.
No, there isn't, because your principal's always safe. If the stock market goes up, this follows it, but it's never in the stock market. It just goes along with the stock market. If the stock market goes down, this has a stop gap, and it stops. It's not going down. It would just sit there. So that's why you don't have the risk. And then it's tax deferred, compound interest. There's so many good things about an annuity. I love annuities, as you know. And for the older people, annuities are perfect.
Yeah.
When you start to retire, think about an annuity. If you're 70, you need to be in an annuity.
What makes
sense? Now, we did have a call this week from a 92-year-old that wanted an annuity. Bless her heart. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I was in shock that she was smart enough and with it to call and say, I'd like to talk about an annuity.
That's awesome.
I go, this is just, it's not appropriate. We can't do it. But it was nice of her to call. It was nice of her to say, you know, I'd like to put my money with you, and I appreciated the call, but we can't do it.
Is there a cutoff point?
Really, 80.
Okay. All right. So.
Yes.
Well, that's still cute. That's neat.
It is real cute. I mean, I appreciate the call.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
It shows she's listening, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
by golly, she's listening to our show.
I can't blame her for calling just to find out. I mean, that's great. It's great that people are looking at things and saying, you know, this makes a lot of sense. The track record is there because you've got a number of investors who have been with you really since day one. And so this goes on,
right,
you know, for a long, long time. And so you've got the track record to prove that this really, no matter which one you do, annuities or life settlements, they survive any kind of market conditions. When you've been through recessions before, you've been through downturns, you've been through, you know, just about every market condition that I can think of. And in any situation over the years, investors have been thriving when others, you know, like in the stock market or real estate or, you know, whatever else has not been. So, you know, you've got the track record to prove it as well. So for anybody that wants to get in, wants to get started, or just wants some more information about either annuities or life settlements, they do need to call. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.